We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Final hour of Fans in the Pros tonight. Deuce and I with you till 7 before the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup comes on. Alan Waddell and Brad Lemonade do a great job every week. We got the select school title games tonight, and the non-select schools have their semifinal games. But first, we're going to go ahead and do our Pelicans Primer, sponsored by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. Mark, take it away.
Thanks, Zach. And this is getting less fun every time I have to do this Pelicans Primer as we slog through what is now a 7-game losing streak for the Pelicans. And you know, it was just another game indicative of all of their issues last night as they hosted the Phoenix Suns. They're having trouble closing out games. They finally get this game to a tie, and they can't quite get over the top. And then in overtime, they just fall apart again. And there were so many times late in the fourth quarter when it was like, just get a rebound. Just get a rebound. There were two straight possessions where the Suns got three offensive rebounds before finally putting the ball back in and getting points. And it's like, you're getting the defensive stop, but you have to finish it and you have to get a rebound. And I know that there's a lot of Pelicans fans out there today that are looking at the New York Knicks jealously because the Knicks fired their coach, David Fizdale, and Alvin Gentry is not very popular right now in New Orleans with a lot of Pelicans fans.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, it's a team that came in with a lot of excitement.
Yes.
And yet, was their expectation, I don't know. The expectation was better than this, maybe.
Yeah. For me, the expectation wasn't that they were going to come out and win 50 games. I didn't think they were even going to win 40 games. I thought they'd be around, you know, 38 and 44, 37 and 45, something like that, just below 500. Probably not a playoff team unless it's a particularly bad year in the West. But you know, this team right now, it's kind of falling below even that expectation. And the most frustrating thing is just them closing out games. It's getting off to slow starts, then they fight their way back into the game, and it's like they run out of gas before they can close the deal. And it's just kind of a frustrating watch right now for Pelicans fans, because you do have a team that's, you know, getting close to full strength. You know, there's not a lot of injuries left to get rehabbed, you know, on this team. Derek Favors obviously has been out, but he's dealing with the death of his mother, and that's not exactly an injury, so hopefully he'll be back soon. And of course, we're still waiting on Zion Williamson, but the rest of the team is kind of there. And
well, that was Kendrick Williams. That was Kenny Hustle's first game back, so
right.
I mean,
but he was only out a couple of games.
He's still out. I mean, but yes, I understand. He had a birth of a child, and then he had ankle issues. So he's still out. I mean,
no, but my point, though, is that he's back, and you're playing a team that comes in at 9-11 in the Phoenix Suns. And first of all, you have to get overtime to try and close this deal out, and then you can't even close it out then. And it's hard to watch them right now, knowing how much better they could be.
I agree with you, but I mean, we've only won 6, so just because they're 9-11, I mean, we were worse.
No, but we had
even
beaten them
before the game. I know we had beaten them. We had beaten them. I know that.
The last win before the 7-game losing streak came against the Phoenix Suns.
That's correct. But hey, hopefully they can get it turned around.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom, but just last night was a very frustrating game for this team, and I know that they probably feel it as well, and. And now you have another tough one coming up because you got the Dallas Mavericks tomorrow night on the road with Luka Doncic, who just torched you the other night, just the way he's been torching everybody else. So
at least you're not alone.
It's not an anomaly, but that just means that you can probably expect more of it when you visit Dallas tomorrow night.
Yeah, but if you get Favors back, that'll definitely help. You know, with some of those issues, at least down low.
I think so too, and I think that's one of the biggest disappointments is how, you know, he's missed so many games already this year. You know, if they could get him back on the court, that would be a huge help for the Pelicans. Although Jackson Hayes has played well.
Yeah, and listen, I still feel like I don't know. If you didn't come into the season expecting to make the playoffs, right, you lose who was supposed to be your best player. One of the pieces you went and traded for is playing, is having his best season of his career, right? Brandon Ingram. has been phenomenal. You're not finishing games. You're not playing defense, right? So at some point here, you're going to be at full strength, and you have to make a decision. Is this happening because you're incapable of coaching them to do that? Or does this team look different when they're at full strength and doing what they were intended to do?
Well, at some point, hopefully soon, they've got to get something turned around. Or, you know, this ship is sputtering right now.
Well, yes, I think from the point of view of the fans, you know, you've seen Alvin Gentry with this team for a while. And from his point of view, he's not particularly David Griffin's guy. David Griffin came in and inherited Alvin Gentry, and a lot of times you see a GM make a move much more frequently if he's not the one who picked the coach in the first place.
Yeah, but they have history together.
I know they have history together.
And they picked up his option as well, so it's not like he didn't trust in him. And I mean, but at some point, yes, if he has to pull the trigger, he will. But it wasn't like they didn't trust in Alvin, and he stood behind Alvin.
Oh, and I agree with that. But my point is, you see a GM, like I said, a lot quicker to pull a trigger on a guy who wasn't necessarily his choice. And I know that he's friends with Alvin. I know that they have history. But if this doesn't get turned around into something that's a little bit more palpable and a little bit more watchable for the fans, with the way the fans are calling for Gentry's head, the seat's going to get hot.
I'm a wait and see. If you're keeping Alan Gentry, it's because you want to see what Alan Gentry does with this entire roster. I think you give him time. You don't have those expectations this year. Yeah, I think everyone would have been excited if they surprised everyone and came out of the gates and were, you know, sitting at
seventh or sixth or fifth in the conference. But that wasn't truly the expectation.
So let's just listen. Everybody wants someone's head to roll like that anymore,
of course,
right?
Of course.
That's the new sentiment in the world is, you messed up, get rid of them. That's the sentiment. I'm reserving that judgment for now.
And I still think that they're building this team the right way. I think that this is the hard work that you have to go through if you're going to build a team that's a contender for years to come with a young core that's learning how to play together.
I think it's the only way to build a team here in New Orleans.
Absolutely, because
you're not going to be a free agent destination market.
No. When we saw the folly when they tried to build an instant contender around Anthony Davis when he was the number one draft pick and how that worked out. That didn't work out so well. This is the way to do it, but you have to kind of sit through some tough times. It just seems like maybe the times don't have to be quite as tough as they are right now when you watch how this team plays and you watch the potential that they play with on the court.
Yep. All right, Mark, thank you very much for your Pelicans primer. We appreciate that. And tomorrow we can catch the SEC championship game when LSU battles the Bulldogs in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. There'll actually be people in there for that one right here on WWL kickoff. Game day kickoff starts at 10 a.m. Join Christian Garrick and Herb Tyler and special guest Bobby Hebert for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate and Show live from the Rouse's Market uptown at 4500 Chapultepec, who I think just broke the record for the largest avocado display this week.
10,000?
It's like 112,000.
100,000.
You could get 12 avocados for $1 earlier this week. I don't know if it probably is. They got a lot of avocados to sell over there.
if you're a fan of avocados, this is your time.
That is Mecca right now. Stop by and say hi when you shop for your tailgate party. Guacamole for everyone at 1 o'clock. LSU pregame with the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair. Game time, 3 p.m. And join us for the Purple and Gold Point After 8 till 10. Don't miss the SEC Championship, Tigers versus Bulldogs, tomorrow on WWL, the Big 870, 105.3 FM. And remember, you can stream LSU games live free at the WW.com or radio.com app. More Fans on the Pros when we come back here on WWL. Welcome back to Fans in the Pros. Rob Thomas.
Santana.
With Santana. Yeah. I was going to say I didn't know Rob Thomas was, but yes, this is with Santana.
Santana featuring Rob Thomas.
Oh, okay.
It's a Santana joint.
Gotcha.
That Rob Thomas was lucky enough to jump in on.
To jump on, yeah. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. The music from San Francisco has been treating us well in this show. Hopefully the team does not have the same fortune.
Hopefully the team has a smooth Sunday.
The Saints.
The Saints, yes.
Yes. I love it. I see what you did there. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. And Deuce, listen, we have gotten numerous requests to discuss the SWAC championship game tomorrow.
And I apologize because I hadn't talked about it, and I know we left it out of our sports report, but we got to send a shout-out to the Southern Jaguars out of BR. Southern clinched another division title. Basically, I went to that game. They played the Bayou Classic against Grambling. They came back to win that game, and it was basically a blocked field goal at the end. And so Southern goes and plays Alcorn State up in Lorman this weekend. Well, this weekend, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and the winner plays North Carolina A&T, the Aggies, in the Celebration Bowl next Saturday in Atlanta. So earlier this year, really the last couple of games, Alcorn has had Southern's number. Earlier this year, they beat them. And then last year, I was at that game, also the championship game. I went to both of them to support the Braves and the Jaguars last year up at Alcorn, up in and it was a pretty good game. Alcorn pulled that one out. But, yeah, the winner plays in the Celebration Bowl over in Atlanta. And so Southern Jaguars, good luck as they take on the Alcorn Braves. Alcorn has a pretty good defense.
Best in the conference.
Best in the conference. And so the Jaguars have to be able to run the football. They were able to hit a couple passes for touchdowns against Grambling last week. But we'll see. But shout out to the Braves and the Jaguars for the SWAC championship up in Lorman. And that will be on ESPNU. That will be on ESPNU at 3 o'clock Central kickoff time.
Alrighty.
So we have a couple folks probably easing up 55 or 61 headed up to Lorman, to the reservation up there. Let the human jukebox and
we also
the sound of dynamite get you going.
We also got yelled at earlier by what I would assume is the only person in the state of Louisiana that cares about what the real name of ULL is.
Yep.
Can I just say that? Is that allowed?
No,
I don't know. What are the rules?
It's technically not.
Okay,
it's,
so what do I say? UL?
No.
Is it L?
Yeah, it's just L.
It's just Louisiana?
Louisiana.
Is that the new? Because they
that's what they tell us they want to be called at as and
what's the mama what's mama call them?
ULL.
Mama calls them ULL. I'm gonna call them ULL. Mark, what do you got in there?
So
explain this to me.
All right, so they've been for years trying to lose just the Lafayette part and just be the University of Louisiana.
Right.
They had
good marketing move.
They had a petition, basically a petition in with a Sun Belt conference that was being blocked by the University of Louisiana at Monroe.
Makes sense.
Because they didn't want them to get all the glory, I guess.
And
sure. But University of Louisiana at Monroe pulled their block of the name change.
Okay.
And so with that, it went forward, and now they are simply the University of Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
Is there some legislation? Okay. Because our texture told us.
There's legislation.
Well, all right. So technically, you could say that they are University of Louisiana at Lafayette. But technically, you could also say LSU is the Louisiana State University at Baton Rouge.
At Baton Rouge.
So
let me tell
if
you.
If we're going to get into the weeds, then we have to start saying LSUBR, and that's just way too much.
LSU at Shreveport.
Let me tell you a little story. I can call them whatever I feel like. I've not gotten a phone call from University of Louisiana telling me to drop Lafayette. I have not gotten that phone call yet. I don't know. Listen.
If you look at all their jerseys, they just say Louisiana. If you look at when they play games on ESPN and such, the scoreboard just says Louisiana.
That's correct.
They have completely dropped the Lafayette part of their name, and they are just University of Louisiana.
It's a smart marketing ploy. Makes perfect sense.
Yes.
I like the thought.
They're trying to position themselves as the second biggest school behind LSU.
Sure. That's fine. That's fine.
And you know what? There's lots of states that have an Ohio and an Ohio State.
There's an Ohio University and an Ohio State, yes.
There's lots of – just about every state has that.
Yes.
We're one of the few that didn't, and so they're filling a void.
Okay.
There you go.
Awesome. All right. So we've covered that now.
So the texter, you can –
check.
If you want to start saying LSUBR all the time, then be my guest.
Check. Maybe it was like their marketing head. We don't know, right? It's just a phone number. Yeah, we don't know who it was.
We don't have the caller ID on the phones for text.
That's right. We don't know exactly who it was. So there you have it. All right. It's a big game this weekend. LSU Georgia tomorrow, 3 o'clock kickoff.
Is that Eastern? That's Eastern.
No, it's 3 o'clock
no,
here.
Three Central.
Don't confuse me, dude. This isn't the question portion of the show.
I was just wondering.
Listen, you look at Georgia, and quite honestly, you look at the injury report for Georgia, and you're like, you need to be at full strength to play the LSU Tigers the way they've played this year, and they're just not. DeAndre Swift left the Georgia Tech game with a shoulder injury. They're saying he's going to play, but we'll find out,
yeah,
you know, exactly how that's going. Lawrence
Cager
is out for them. They've got two of their top three guards have been kind of on the injury list that have not really been playing that they say are going to play. They lost George Pickens for fighting in that game.
For a half.
And really, you look at LSU, and it's like, man, this is as good, as healthy as they've been since the beginning of the season. So you got a team coming in at full strength. LSU has always matched up well to Georgia, mm-hmm, right? Even when, I mean, you look at the game last year, and I mean, they got after Georgia big time. And it's, quite honestly, I think, or I felt then, that Georgia is basically, and LSU were built the same way, right? Tons of speed, athletes all over the field, great defenses and ball control offenses. Mm-hmm. That is not the case at LSU anymore.
No.
Right? And quite honestly, except for a few games, LSU's defense has not played great, but Georgia's a long way from being a great offense. And I don't know, to me, you can't beat LSU with your secondary. You have got to beat them with your front seven, and I don't see it happening.
Well, I don't think they can beat them. I think LSU could give them the game, but I don't think Georgia can beat them. But it's going to be intriguing because this will be a game a lot like the Alabama game. Man, there will be NFL players all over that field, and that's really for both squads. But, you know, and this will be a road game. This game is right there in Atlanta. There will be about 70-30, maybe even 60-40. But I'm thinking 70-30 for UGA. There will be, you know, a crowd for UGA. And look, I think for me personally, LSU can lose this game and still advance to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that LSU is not in the playoffs already.
Well, the only way they're not if they
lose
get blew
by
out.
50.
Yeah, they get blew
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
You know, they get blew out. And
they're still the number four team in the country.
They would be
and
the
they still
four.
Have five wins over top 10 teams.
Yeah, they would be number four. But
yeah, or four.
For Georgia, they have to win this game, and then they need some other weird stuff to happen for them to be able to jump, you know, Utah and Oklahoma. And you know, Oklahoma still has to play Baylor.
I think if Georgia wins this game, they're in.
You think so?
I do. I mean,
know.
You're
I
beating the number so. One team in the country, or number two, whatever.
Number 1A.
Yeah, right, exactly. And of course, I think a lot of it depends on how it goes. If it's a, you know, last-second deal, something happens in the game that's funky.
They'd have to beat
then,
it convincingly.
Yeah, but I think I know that people don't like this. I've heard all the stories. If you've got four teams in the playoffs and you're saying we're putting the four best teams in,
two SEC teams.
I don't see how it's possible to hold out a group you got at number four beating the number one team, regardless of what happens behind you. And I don't think you can let LSU out of that.
Oh, I understand that. But I'm just from a matchup standpoint, there will be speed all over the field.
Yeah.
You will have a secondary that can run with maybe one or two of LSU's receivers, but I think LSU just has too much depth.
Yeah,
they have too much depth, and then you know, Clyde can be special on that surface, on that turf, and so he can get loose. His ability to catch the football is going to make Georgia have to declare some different things that they normally may not want to do. I think you know, LSU just has the better overall team, and Georgia doesn't have enough weapons.
Yeah, and I really think the staff at LSU did a great job of using the running back more in the passing game as the season went, as defenses started to adjust to some of these routes. All of a sudden, the running back is whoever is in the game is being utilized in the passing game. And, you know, you go back and watch the Alabama game, and that's all it was. They just didn't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of weapons, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot of weapons
well, you put
for
so
LSU
much,
right now.
You put so much attention on the receivers, and then you throw Thaddeus Moss in there,
right,
you know, and he's a mismatch problem for you. Now you throw the running back out there, I can't account for all of them. You know, and it's a different from the NFL because you've got – guys and schemes that help you. But, you know, now it's college, and that's what you take advantage of. You take advantage of some of the weakness. You take advantage of the lack of preparation that these guys have, and, you know, you put your athletes in space.
Clyde has been – I mean, man, you talk about giving that – I think he's the reason why there never was a letdown in this offense. Because the minute people started to catch up to some of the route concepts they're running, all of a sudden
he gets thrown in there.
He gets thrown in the mix, and he really has been special.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, I don't think you almost, if you're LSU, you almost want to say, you know what, rest every starter, and make them say, well, no, you shouldn't be where you are, because
right.
I don't think short of LSU right now beating Georgia by 30. 28, and Ohio State having a real nail-biter, the committee's not going to move them up. Their decision's made there, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I think that's crazy.
That's bad. I mean,
can you imagine LSU going undefeated in the SEC and beating five top 10 teams? And I get it. Texas is not a top 10 football team. They were when you played them.
Right.
But when you look at the teams that LSU has beaten and beaten soundly, how is it possible that you give it to Ohio State?
I don't know, man. I'm not on that committee. So
put Penn State in. Listen, I'm from the North. I played in the Big Ten. There is no way that Wisconsin is coming to the SEC and winning 10 games.
Not with that offense they run.
No way.
You can't do that.
Penn State is not going to the SEC and winning 10 games.
I'm interested in Penn State. I think that the system, you have to change it a little. You have to change it. But they've got pretty good athletes, though. They've got pretty good athletes.
They got pretty good athletes. Athletes to win 8 games down here.
8 games. That's probably true. I mean,
couldn't beat Minnesota. You ever played a game in Minnesota? What an atmosphere. All 45,000 of them freezing their little tails off, doing their best to get revved up. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. LSU not being number one in the poll is, I think, it's criminal almost. Especially if they beat Georgia. But again, we're not on the committee, are we, Deuce? And we're probably not after that outburst. We'll leave them out. More Fans in the Pros when we come back here on WWO. Welcome back to Fans in the Pros. Deuce and I here for another 15 minutes, then the All-State Sugar Bowl prep. I mess that up once a week. The All-State Sugar Bowl Prep. I was right. Prep Football Roundup.
You had it?
I even mess it up when I do it right. Let's jump onto the phone lines. Let's grab Chester in Maryland. Chester, welcome to Fans of the Pros. What do you got?
Hey, guys. It was great to meet y'all out in Seattle. I went to the Go Brewery.
Nice. Oh, very cool, Chester.
Good to talk to you.
Good time out there.
Right. I did have a good time, and I showed those my friends the picture I took between you two guys. I'm 6'2" and a big guy, I think, but you guys dwarf me. But anyhow, I was watching the game with friends at my house after Thanksgiving, and we're sitting there, and Taysom, you know, blocks the punt. And I told this woman who's sitting there with me, I said, hey, look at our third-string quarterback. You got to watch him. Oh, and she got all on about Lamar Jackson. Then before you know it, Taysom gets the touchdown. Then next thing you know, he does that 30-yard, you know, direct center thing. And she yelled that, yeah, look, he runs like Lamar. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, and listen, there's been, I think, a lot of talk in the city this week, Chester, about how Lamar Jackson and how the Baltimore Ravens were able to run the football last week against the 49ers. And, you know, will the Saints use Taysom Hill more because of that? And what I think is interesting is – I do think that Taysom Hill gets more involved in the offense, but not because they think he's Lamar Jackson. And
Correct.
He's a different type of player. It's not a fair comparison. Just from the types of athletes they are just very different, right? So, you know, Lamar Jackson is incredibly elusive, right? He's a little bit slighter build. He's operating like a running back.
Correct.
Taysom,
but he can throw the ball.
He can throw the football, absolutely. And he's been phenomenal this year. You know, obviously he's an MVP, probably the top MVP candidate right now. Taysom is more of a straight line athlete. He's incredibly physical. He's incredibly strong he's and big. Tough. You know, they're just different. That being said, as the Saints come down the stretch, I think, you know, in these big games, and this has always been the way that it is in the National Football League, you want to get the ball in the hands of your best players in these big games. You need to find ways to get balls to your best guys. And in this offense, I think Taysom Hill is one of those guys. And I think that Sean I think he's acknowledged that. I think he knows that. And I do think that Taysom Hill gets the ball more. But I don't think it's because, oh, look what Baltimore did last week to the 49ers. That's a completely different offense.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if it comes down to a situation where I am running the ball, I am running quarterback keep, I don't care who's in the game. You know, you make them adjust to you as far as personnel is concerned. And the unique thing about Taysom is how will they match him?
Yeah.
And how will they respond to him coming into the game? Because when he comes in, it's not necessarily to play quarterback. It's to line up as an H. It's to line up as a receiver. You know, we've seen him at tailback. But how will they match him? I mean, because I think that will dictate some of the other things that you see Sean do later on. I mean, because if you want to run quarterback keep, go ahead. I would love for them to have a receiver in there at the game. And at some point, hey, look, you're going to have one-on-one matchup. You guys have to go and make a play. You know, and if that becomes what they do, then let's go make a play. I mean, because that's the best opportunity for you to get that matchup because they want to stop the quarterback run. And so if it happens like that, let's go for it. But I know we're not going to run 40 plays with Taysom lined up at quarterback.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's go to Huli and Lacombe. Huli, thanks for holding. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Deuce and Zach, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
Good. My choice, who needs to have the best game, is Eli Apple. I think Deuce earlier was talking about stealing a possession. We can't have Eli giving up possessions like he's done the last few games.
Well, is that giving up a possession or having penalties?
Well, if it's third down, Deuce, and you have a pass interference, that's you're giving that team another possession, whereas yeah. You should have had the ball back.
That's correct. You're extending the drive, no doubt about it. But his biggest problem has been penalties, not necessarily giving an extra possession, though. Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, though. But, no, I agree with you in that sense.
Well, I think last game he had three different interferences.
Correct.
That continued drive.
He had two, and Marshawn had one.
Marshawn had one of them? Okay. Well, Eli, he has to step up this game. I think if he has a solid game, we win, no doubt. The rest of the guys, they're ready to go.
All right, Huli, we appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you for the thoughts. Everyone's going to have a good game, right? Same way for San Francisco. If they want to win, they're all going to have good games. That's why it's an exciting game that we're looking forward to. Because it's a heck of a matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it just all falls on Eli having to have the good game.
No, I mean, but I did ask who needs to have the biggest game. By the way, Alvin Kamara in our WBL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is leading right now, and I understand the sentiment. I think the running game is going to be incredibly important in this one. All right, Deuce and I are getting close to the end here. We're going to give you our predictions for the weekend when we come back. This is Fans and the Pros on WBL. So last song for Deuce and I tonight. It's a good night for music.
Agreed.
I enjoyed it. And then we're going to go to Tennessee. There's going to be a bunch of good ones up in Tennessee. Different types of music.
It'll be very country heavy.
It'll be country heavy, but it's all right. We play it all on this show, right?
Absolutely.
We get it all. All right, Duamus.
Yes, sir.
Last segment for us, and again, don't forget, coming up after us, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Alan Waddell and Brad Lumine will be coming up. Select all state championship games and the non-select or public. Can I just say public?
Go ahead.
Public school? Yeah, public school semis are tonight. After us. But, Deuce, here we go. Big football weekend. We talked about it all across the state. Games everywhere. We do predictions every week for two of them. First one out of the gate, LSU, Georgia. SEC championship game in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
LSU wins by 17.
LSU by 17.
Yep. You're probably looking at a score even though they haven't given up this many yards. This many points Georgia had. I am thinking 34-17, 34. I'll give them 21. LSU 38 and whatever. Take 17 off of that.
21?
Yeah.
38-21?
Go ahead.
I like it. Okay, 38-21. I'm going to go. I think they might even get some more. No, I think you're good. 38, I think it's going to be a little bit closer, and I think it's probably coming late. I'm going to go 38-31. The LSU Tigers. And I think they're up two scores with a couple minutes to go and give up a garbage touchdown.
So it's a junk touchdown.
I do.
So
I
it's never really in doubt.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I can deal with that.
I don't think so. All right, and now the Saints and the San Francisco 49ers at home in the Louisiana. It's not the Louisiana Superdome. It's the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
Far greater than the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a personal opinion.
No
very
stories
Mercedes
detected.
Mercedes-Benz kind of weekend.
It yep. is a very Mercedes-Benz kind of weekend.
No stories detected. Come on.
What do you think?
Saints win. I think this game is a close one. I mean, I think it's Saints. I don't think it's a kick at the end that they beat them by, but I think, you know, they beat them by anywhere between 3 and 4 points. So whether that's a missed extra point or I think that they win by 3 or 4 points, the Saints.
It is worth noting, Deuce, that Robbie Gould, who had a couple of huge seasons the last couple of years, I think he was 33 or 34 last year, he kicked 39 field goals in 2017, really had two great seasons, has really struggled this year, 14 of 22.
Well, he's been hurt, but now he's back. I guess this is his, what, second game, third game back maybe?
Yes, and he, listen now, 0 for 4 from 50-plus, 2 of 4 from 40 to 49, 5 of 7 from 30 to 39, and in a close football game, we've seen that can come in a big way, right? So, I'm going to go the New Orleans Saints 24, the San Francisco 49ers 21. Robbie Gould misses a chance to send it to overtime late in this one. Fearless prediction. That's where I'm going.
I like it.
I think it's a big football weekend. Deuce and I want to thank Mark Menard, DJ Mark Menard in the booth tonight. Excellent work. We appreciate you, Steve Geller, for putting this one together for us. Diane Newman, our program director, and all of you for listening in. This has been Fans and the Pro on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.